4CBA Mobile.
BA, KN4BWA. So what's the news, Grandpa?
See, this guy sells another grandson, 7 pounds, 8 ounces. Mommy and baby are doing fine.
And what is this young squire's name?
Is Gavin Golf Alpha Victor India November.
Congratulations, Grandpa.
Well, it was everything I could do. I stood right outside the door when she was having the baby, and they were going to give her an epidural, and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, just everything went crazy, and you know, she was delivering the baby. And so she just had to give birth to it naturally, and it was tough. It was tough standing outside the door and listening to that.
Yeah, but it isn't anything that women haven't been doing for the last 100,000 years.
But she was a trooper, and she did good.
That is good, bud. Well, so now, are they going to make sure that you have limited visitation with that young man so that you don't, shall we say, lead him down the wrong path?
I'm sure I'll have limited visitation rights. Oh, man. I'll be honest with you. Grizzly, their 2-year-old, is a handful. I don't see. I know I couldn't do it. I couldn't do a newborn and Grizzly at the same time. So I feel for them.
That's why young people have babies and grandparents just spoil them rotten and send them home.
Remember, it seems like it was always Mona's mom would do this, and my mother-in-law, in other words, and we'd take the girls over there, and she'd fill them full of chocolate and candy and red Kool-Aid and anything that would just, you know, make them hyper with caffeine and everything. And then we'd go over there and pick them up, and they'd be bouncing off the wall and say, "Here you go." I'd be so mad.
Let me tell you what I did to my former sister-in-law one time. She came up, her and her husband came up, dumped off his 2 girls on me and the original. And so the long and the short of it, we kept them for the weekend, but when they got sent home, hey, bud, I called down there to their house about 30 minutes after that I knew they had gotten home, and I told my sister-in-law, I said, "Hey, ask the girls what Tarzan says." About 20 minutes later, I get a phone call that says, "You SOB, it's taken me this long to get them settled back down. All I've heard is, for the last 20 or 30 minutes."
Oh, man, that's perfect. That's perfect. You know, payback's always rough.
You bet. Well, so you're headed back home?
In downtown Greenville, I'm on Church Street. I'm going over the Church Street Bridge right now. Just hit the concrete. Boy, they need to fix this thing. I don't know what to do. Throw down some asphalt on it or something, because this bridge is awful. Anyway, but since we got all that money for roads, you know, I'm sure it'll be top priority on the list.
No, all that means is we're paying a whole whole bunch of extra taxes so that they can get nicer roads in Columbia and Myrtle Beach.
Okay. Well, and how do you know that?
Hugh Leatherman. He's in charge of the DOT and all the jobs projects, and he's out of Florence. And he makes all that money go down to that part of the state. He don't care about nothing up here on 85 and how we funnel all this tax money from 85 fuel sales down into the, you know, rest of the area. I'm telling you, Bo, the upstate is neglected on roads.
And the worst place in South Carolina that I've ever lived that had the worst roads was Charleston. And but that was back in the 80s, and that's before they raised the Lockwood Boulevard 3 feet. And I mean, they literally laid down 3 feet layers of asphalt. And I'm not kidding you, when we were driving on the old road, you couldn't see over the top of the new road. They just kept putting asphalt layer on top of layer to raise the level of the road so the water couldn't go over it, because at high tide it would just, you could see the waves going across the road.
Wow. Hey, and you know who gets most of those road contracts down there, don't you? That's good old Hugh Leatherman's son, who has the road building and paving company.
That don't sound right either. Oh, me. Well, wouldn't you know it. Well, I tell you. Well, there was a question I wanted to ask Carlos today when we were talking to him. And did you talk to him anymore?
Yeah, I talked to him for just a couple of minutes. But I don't think you knew it, but you were getting some malicious QRM over your signal there. Nobody could hear the last three or four segments of broadcast from transmitting from you.
On his transmission too, I couldn't tell it. I thought maybe it was just you and him doubling or something. But till you said something about it, well, you know, I can't help that. You know, people gonna do what they're gonna do. But anyway, I just wanted to ask him where he was, you know, where he spent most of his time in the Air Force.
He told me that, and I've forgotten where he said they spent his time. I do know it was, he said it was C-130s, and I believe it was back and forth to the Middle East.
Well, that'd be a heck of a flight in one of those things. Yeah, my buddy Dennis, he was in the Marine Corps, and he said, you know, that he could hop a flight if they had an extra seat. He could, you know, he could fly anywhere in the world free, and I thought that was pretty cool. And he told me, you know, you're sitting in those, you know, web net seats, whatever they're called, and they're like cargo nets or something, and I thought it's a good deal when you look at it like that.
You know, the military does not consider anything for creature comfort. It's just all basic operation.
Well, I guess, to a point anyway. Well, so, I was just telling him when I lived in Charleston, that's what they were flying at the air base there, were the C-130s and C-141s, and That's the only thing I miss about Charleston is when we drive up to North Charleston on 26 and see one of the big birds coming over the top of the trees taking off, or one coming in landing. It was just a beautiful sight.
He was a one-star, and he was wing commander down there at Charleston, I think from 76 to 81, I think. Yep, something like that, and he retired out from down there. He lived over off of Devinger Road after he retired. He and my dad and I used to work on Mooney aircraft when my dad had one. And one time I had my student ticket, almost had my private license, and we used to all fly together. It was a good time.
4CBA, and a good time was had by all. Well, that's good. Yeah, he said he's still flying a little bit. I don't know if he owns a plane or what. But I don't know how well off he is. I would imagine he's probably not hurting too bad if he made a career out of the military.
I said he was glad to be out.
Flying the C-130s, he said he couldn't do it today. He said it's a young man's job. And, of course, I don't know what all's involved, but it's a big old plane. And I don't know if you heard me tell him, I've actually sat in the cockpit of the captain's seat of pilot seat of a C-141, and the guy that was with me, he was a nut. He was in the Air Force, and he said, "I'd start this thing up for you if it was hooked up to an APU." And I said, "Oh, it's just fine, no problem. We won't do that."
Yeah, that sounds like my son. When my son was in the Navy, he was on when we first went into Afghanistan. I think it was Afghanistan. They pulled him off of his ship because they had two Navy SEAL insertion teams stationed aboard the ship. Well, he went inland with them, and he set up a forward maintenance depot for the UH-60s. And he called me one evening on a satellite phone, his captain's satellite phone, and I said, "Son, you're going to get in hack with your commanding officer, your CO." He says, "No, Dad, he's standing right here. He's letting me call you. Ain't no problem." I said, "Okay. Well, as long as you do what you're told." He says, "Well, listen, Dad, I can go anywhere on the face of the earth that I want to go." He says, "I make their birds fly, and they take real good care of me."
Are a few perks. Oh, me. Yeah, I knew a guy that was, I forget what his job was. He was on the aircraft carrier, and I can't remember which one. I got a good memory. But he worked at, he used to work at John Finger in parts department, and, they discharged him because of a neck injury. But anyway, he seemed to really, really miss that.
Gun junkies out there everywhere. Matter of fact, I was worried about my boy doing that same thing, because whenever he got out of the Navy, he went right back in with an outfit called L3 and did another year in Afghanistan as a civilian contractor fixing the helicopters out on a forward operations base. That was a tough year.
But I bet he made good money, but it's you know, kind of putting your life on the line there. You never know what's going to happen.
Yep. Well, listen, bud, I've already destinated, and I got to disconnect this car hauler I've had on the back of the truck and head on into the house and get some victuals. So I'm going to let you go, and congratulations, Grandpa. And I will talk to you later. KN4VWA, clear after your final.
Worked out perfect because I just pulled in the driveway here. So you have a good evening. Enjoy the QSO and behave yourself if you possibly can. We'll talk to you later. 73 is KB4CBA, clear.